Well, there's news as we come together of things happening throughout the week. Family members, one passing, others in the hospital, and I see gravity on some faces as folks walk into the sanctuary, and I find myself just a bit distracted with the whole thing of, you know, wondering, you know, what's going on in the heart of hearts for folks? What are they carrying around with them? And I need to kind of hear what I have to proclaim, you know, before I proclaim it in a way. And that is from Paul's words to the Corinthians. We urge you, co-workers, fellow workers with God, do not receive the grace of God in vain. And that's to say something of the grace of God having its place in our hearts and our minds that clearly transcends the wind and the waves of life. That is, takes us to the boat with Jesus and the disciples. And the moment in the midst of the lake and the boat about to be submerged and capsize, and they're coming to Jesus, "Don't you care that we're about to drown?" You know, the implication is, you're asleep on the job, Lord. You're not attentive. You're not aware of what's going on, and we'd like to wake you up and bring your presence and your power to this moment. It's kind of a, hello, are you paying attention, God, kind of moment. And maybe that is part of what's going on in people's hearts and minds. Clearly, that was the case for Job. Having suffered all the loss that he experienced, a family and reputation, grief, health, his own body, overcome with scabs and boils and so on, and then the aspersions that come from his friends. Clearly, Job, you're withholding something from your confession. You're not being completely honest with yourself or with God, and that's why this stuff has befallen you. And so Job finally comes into the presence of God for his day. He says, I want to have my voice heard in the presence of God. I want to cut loose all this stuff that I'm carrying around, and I demand justice. I demand to be treated according to my righteousness, my way. And God, in a way, takes Job and turns him from inside of himself, and the focus, the complete absorption with me, my life, my moment, my anguish, you know, my pain, my struggle, my anxiety, my worry, my distraction. God takes Job and says, Job, look at creation, and I ask you, where were you in the midst of all of this being brought into being out of nothing, Job, simply by the power of my word, Job? Where were you in all of this? Step aside from your life and look at the grandeur of the universe and recognize, Job, I am the one who's at the, I'm the pilot of this boat, Job. I'm the creator, and you are the creature. And there is life beyond meaning, purpose, beyond your purview, beyond your ability to see and to understand, Job. In fact, your life is not about yourself, Job. Your life, Job, is about God and the working and the plan and the glory of God. And so Job is invited beyond himself as the disciples met Jesus in the boat that day and find themselves beside themselves in a way with this moment of, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And Jesus' comment, why are you so afraid? Do you still that is, have no faith? Which kind of begs the moment of what had they been brought to at that point? You know, in terms of answering the question, who is this Jesus? What have they heard? What have they witnessed? Or what have they experienced that Jesus could in a way accuse them? Do you still have no faith? And so we flip back through the pages. We see Jesus conveying the parables of how small and seemingly insignificant the kingdom of God is, and yet how great and how grand its power to provide, to shelter, to give rest. And we see Jesus confronting the tradition of his time. I see Jesus standing in the stream of life and saying, look, you have your laws, your rules, you have your traditions, but you're missing the heart of the kingdom. We hear him say, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath, as he heals hands that are palsied, as he casts out demons with his word and restores people to their rightful dignity, their proper, you know, self-composure. Jesus does these things in the presence of the disciples, and he teaches in ways that are clear, that connect with heart and mind and vivify, you know, breathe life into their hopeless and darkened spirits. This is the Jesus who says, do you still have no faith? Inviting us to turn from the storm, the wind, and the waves, and acknowledging our sovereign God, Creator, and our loving Redeemer, Jesus the Christ. Oh, how beautiful the moment when Jesus stands and calms the wind and the waves with a word and assures the disciples with his presence. It's an invitation, that to which I believe Paul speaks. As God's co-workers, I urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. That is, to live out your life and to be tossed here and there with the wind and the waves. To be literally, spiritually seasick with the mess of it all. The turmoil, the uncertainty, the anxiety and the worry that you're not just invited to, but tempted with. Like a trap that springs and catches and holds you fast. Have we received the grace of God in vain? How would you know? Perhaps in asking, as Jesus is there with the disciples in the boat, have I in fact taken time? Have I bothered to even have conversation with my God about these moments and the struggles and the temptation to anxiety and worry? Have I indeed considered him large enough to trouble him with these things? you know, to be, to just be, perhaps to say, dear God, I just need to sit on your lap for a bit. Could I do that? Would you hold me, dear Lord? I'm shaken. I'm not sure. I'm really messed up with this, dear Lord. Have we acknowledged him with at least that? The prayer, the conversation. In the midst of that, perhaps we're inclined to focus on ourselves. Consider the texts. Focus on the greatness, the love, the sovereignty of our God, and there find peace in the midst of the storm. Perhaps part of our receiving grace in vain could be, too, this sense that grace, you know, receiving from God the good that we do not deserve, and mercy, not receiving from God the punishment that we justly deserve. Grace and mercy coming together. But perhaps the sense that we have longed to be forgiven by God, to have his peace within us, but at the same time kind of in our hand in our pocket saying, but I'm still holding this one against, you know, so-and-so who did me some dirt. Forgive me, dear Lord. But this bit, this pain, this transgression, I will not let go. I will hold on. I will carry this to my grave. This one is never getting off the hook. They will forever have the reputation that I have assigned to them in my heart and my soul. This is it, the final word. Indeed. Have we received the grace of God in vain if we long to receive from God, which we refuse to share or even to lavishly spread upon one another, because that's exactly how we receive it, the mercy and the grace of God beyond our wildest deserving? He comes. He pours out his life, his blood, the cross for us. Have you received the grace of God in vain? And then finally, the moment of looking at that long list of experiences that Paul trots out with the Corinthians. I mean, ask yourself, is this because of some casual acquaintance with God that he suffers imprisonment and beatings? Is it a casual acquaintance with God that his reputation and his character is assaulted and his very life is at risk? Is it an easy acquaintance with God that he suffers poverty and hunger and sleepless nights and the list that goes on? Is this a casual encounter with the living God? Is this an optional participation that Paul has? In or out, depending on whether or not I like the journey, you know, and how I'm being treated at this time by the Almighty God. Not at all. The things that Paul experiences are the result of deep to the core of his being conviction about the nature of our God. The absolute black and white clear truth of our God, and the way that this truth is brought together with love for humanity. And the result of the two is one who stands resolved, resolute, in the stream of life as Jesus. Thus saith the Lord, the word of God, authoritative, describing reality in the eyes of God. Consequently, reality in our eyes as well. What God calls sin, dear friends, is sin and cannot be good. And what God calls good is good and cannot be bad. And thus, Paul experienced what he did in light of his encounter with Jesus, who called him from the darkness of his own soul into the light of God's grace and God's mercy, and thus he lives. God spare us, dear friends, from facing the kind of assault and the difficulties that he faced. Ask yourself, though, if these came my way, would the grace of God, would it be enough? Would it carry me? Could I stand in the stream of life with my sins forgiven, with the love of God holding me, cherishing me, delighting over me? We pray yes, because that's what it means to receive the grace of God, not in vain, resolved, peaceful, in the midst of the wind and the waves and the chaos all around, but simply peaceful. The Word of God speaking to us, enlightening our hearts and our minds in a way that we receive, yes, Lord, you are the creator, I am the creature. My life is not for myself, my life is for you, dear Lord. Have your way with me. May I first of all be who you desire me to be, created in the image of my God, living out the fullness of his character and his word today and tomorrow and all days. May I be that person. May I speak those words, dear Lord, that need to be spoken. Speak them with clarity and with righteousness and peace of heart that you alone, dear God, could give. And may I do those things, dear Lord, all those things that you would have me do in your name with the power of your Spirit filling my life. You know, sacrificial things, deeply relational things, eating with sinners and such kind of things, and all that's implied there with Jesus and his coming. His riding in a boat with the disciples in the midst of a storm, seemingly sound asleep, but oh, so aware of exactly what's going on, and so ready to stand up with simple words, "Quiet, be still," and it was so. May he have his way with our hearts and our minds, that indeed we receive the grace of God, not in vain, but to the profound effect that our God desires, bringing rest, bringing a sense of confidence and abiding trust in our God, ennobling us to stand in his truth and with his love. In Jesus' name, amen.